This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
Let's turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. One of the things that we've been talking about here at Covenant Community, in our Bible study and in our Sunday worship, over and over again, we've been talking about the fact that God desires to prosper us in life. God didn't put us here in order for us to have a dingy kind of life. His purpose and His intent was that we would have the best life possible. That's why He created us. He created us to pour out His love on us. Look at Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Isn't that great? That's what God's plan for your life is. It is to prosper you, not to harm you. It is to give you hope. It is to give you a future. God created us with a purpose in our life. He created each one of us for that purpose. We are not only supposed to prosper in life, but we are supposed to have a life that has impact, a life that has meaning, a life where we accomplish something with eternal consequences for God. Don't you want that kind of life? When you're gone, don't you want somebody to remember that you were here? Don't you want your life to have had an impact somewhere for somebody so that somebody will say, when you're gone, that person was instrumental in me becoming the man or the woman that God wanted me to be? You see, that's all what God wants for us. That's all what God's intention and purpose for us is. But let me tell you something. Most people who profess themselves Christians, most people that you will find in church on a Sunday morning, will never achieve anything like what God intended for them to achieve in their lives. You know what the reason for that is? God has a program to develop every one of us so that we can become what He wants us to be. How many of you have ever been trained on your job? You've gone to training. Amen. Now, that secular situation, they trained you. They took time out from your normal work schedule. Why? Because they knew you needed to be prepared for what they wanted you to accomplish. God's the same way. God has a program of training and development to take you from where you are to where He wants you to be. And the reason that so many church people never achieve what God wants them to achieve is because they drop out of the program. I want to talk today about one aspect of God's program that if you want to have the kind of life that God intends for you to have, you can't avoid. It's a necessary part of the program of God. And it's illustrated by the life of the man that we read about in our scripture reading today, the life of Joseph. Joseph was a young man, highly favored of God. From the very beginning, God said to him, "I have got a great plan for your life." In fact, the scripture says that God gave Joseph dreams. Go over to Genesis 37. Look at what God did in Joseph's life. Starting with verse 5. "Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, 'Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves all stood around and bowed down to my sheaf.' And his brothers said to him, 'Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?' So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words." Now, God gave Joseph a dream, and it was a true dream that said, "Your brothers are going to bow down to you one day." Now, you can tell that Joseph was a young man because he was foolish enough to take that dream right straight to his brother, say, "Excited, look what God is showing me. He's showing me that you're all going to bow down to me one day." That takes a young man to think that they were going to be excited about that. But watch this. He even went further. God gave him another dream. Look in verse 9. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? But again, this dream was true. What was happening? God was showing him that he had a marvelous plan for his life, that he was going to elevate Joseph, that Joseph was not only going to prosper in life, but he was going to live the kind of life that was going to have impact. He was showing this to Joseph. Guess what? We read it in Jeremiah 29:11. It wasn't just for Joseph. Amen? God has a plan for each one of our lives. Joseph, God's plan for him was that he would eventually become the prime minister of Egypt. He would be the man in charge of a whole nation. He would have the whole nation, a nation going through crisis, looking to him. And because of what he has gone through, because of the way that God had formed him, through the challenges that God allowed him to go through, he was going to be ready to handle the responsibility of being the prime minister of the nation. I don't know what God has in store for you. Look around for a moment. Do you know we may have a future president of the United States in this room? Can you believe that? God can believe it. Amen. We may have a future governor, a future mayor. We don't know. We may have a future somebody that's going to lead somebody else to Christ, and that person may have that impact. We don't know what it's going to be, but God has a plan for your life. But I want you to watch this. Look what happened to Joseph. God had a great and marvelous plan for his life, but look at the way God took him. We're in Genesis chapter 37. Go over to verse 24. His brothers hated him because he was favored of his father. His brothers hated him because he seemed arrogant talking about these dreams and talking about them bowing down to him. And so one day it just all overflowed. They were out tending to their animals and Joseph came along to find out how they were doing. They saw him coming in the distance and they made a plot among themselves. Let's get rid of this dreamer. Look at verse 24. Then they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted up their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened. Now, look at this. God has all of his life been saying to Joseph, I have a great plan for your life. I am going to elevate you so that your brothers bow down, not even just your brothers, but even your father and your mother are going to bow down to you. And so what's the first thing that happens in fulfillment of God's plan? His brothers throw him into a pit. You ever felt your life was in the pits? You ever felt that you had been thrown down to the ground and you found yourself crying out, God, what's happening? I don't understand this. I thought you were on my side. And here you let this happen in my life. The first step in God's plan for Joseph to be elevated to the very top was to allow him to be thrown down to the bottom. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but God is going to sometimes allow things to happen in your life that you wish wouldn't happen. God is going to sometimes allow things to come to pass for you that if you were in charge of planning your life, you'd say, no way, I see absolutely no reason why I need to go through that route. Lord, let's take a higher route. Take me straight to the palace. I don't need to go through the pit. But God knows what we need. And in fact, something that we need that we would never, ever bring upon ourselves. The thing that God was taking Joseph through was the test, the testing of his character. The testing of his character. Understand this. God can only elevate to the place that he has designed for them people who have godly character. God had to test Joseph's character. And in the testing of that character, it was either going to become strong or it was going to reveal itself for what it was. God had to test Joseph's character. Why is it that it's so important that God test our character? That God develop our character? Well, let's talk about what character is. In the dictionary, it says that character is an individual's pattern of behavior. Well, we need to take it a step further than that. It's not just your pattern of behavior. Character is that internal set of values and qualities that determine how you will react to any situation in life. It's your character that determines what you're going to do when you're faced with any situation in life. For example, it's your character that determines what you're going to do when you go to the grocery store and you hand the clerk a 10 and she gives you a 20 and change. Or when you're on your job and that good-looking woman, you know how they can do it. They don't even have to say anything. They just kind of can let you know, I'm available. Okay. Even though you got that ring on your finger, you still know she's available. See, it's your character that's going to determine how you react in that kind of situation. Well, now you may be saying, I'd never do anything like that. That's no problem for me. Let's take it a step further. It's your character that's going to determine what you do when you're running late. You need to just stop in the convenience store just for a moment. You know exactly what you want to get, and the only parking space is handicapped parking. It's your character that's going to determine how you handle that situation. You see, character is that internal set of values and qualities that determine how you will behave in any situation. Here are three things you need to know about character. First, the contrast between character and reputation. Reputation, your reputation, is what other people think about you. How many of you want to have a good reputation? You want people to think well of you. Amen? There's nothing wrong with wanting a good reputation. A good name, the Bible says, is to be highly desired. We want to have a good reputation, but guess what? Reputation is what other people think of you. Your character is what you really are. Your character is what you really are on the inside. And guess what? The second thing you need to know is that your character will eventually become your reputation. You ever seen somebody, known somebody, who tries to put up a front? They try to make you think they are better than they are. They try to make you think that they are more generous, more kind, more loving than they really are. I won't even ask how many of you married somebody that made you think they were more generous and kind and loving than they really were. And you didn't find out until it was too late what their true character was like. But the point is, eventually you did find out. Eventually it will come out. You can't really hide what you are, because particularly if you claim the name of Jesus, God is going to take you through enough circumstances that the way you really behave when you are faced with a challenging situation will begin to come out, and people will know what your true character is. It may take them some time, but eventually your character will become your reputation. Who was it? Lincoln said you can fool all the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Well, guess what? He was pretty close to the truth. Your character will become your reputation. The third thing you need to know about character, your character will determine the results that you get in life. Your character will determine the results you get in life. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. That's a familiar verse. I'm sure you know it. You've seen it. Galatians 6, 7. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." Your character is what determines what you sow into life. When you're faced with a challenging situation, the decisions that you make, the things that you do, the actions that you take, all will come out of your character. And what you sow in terms of the decisions you make and the actions you take, you will reap. If you're talking about other people behind their back, guess what? Somebody's going to be talking about you behind your back. You ever met somebody and they come up to you and they're talking with you and they look at somebody else and they start making these derogatory comments about this other person and about whatever qualities that person may have. And they're telling you all of this negative stuff about that person. What do you know about the person who comes to you and tells you derogatory things about somebody else? When they're with somebody else, what are they saying about you? Amen. So what is your attitude toward that person? That's not somebody I want to be around. That's not somebody I can trust. That's not somebody I want to deal with. You see, your character is a seed that is sown into life, and you will reap the results. You will reap what you sow. Understand this. God is interested in character because your character determines what you will do when the chips are down. It is your character that determines what you will do when the chips are down. A person with godly character is a person that God can count on to behave in a way that honors God in any situation. So, God is interested in character. Because understand this, a person who does not have godly character can be counted on to misbehave in a way that will bring dishonor to God in any situation where their own desires or their own needs conflict with what God wants.
Yes, sir.
Which way are you headed right now? Which way are you headed right now? If we had to take an assessment of your character right now, is it a character that causes you to bring honor to God in whatever situation you're in? Or are you the kind of person that God would have to look at you and say, "No, I can't trust them." Because I know when push comes to shove, when it becomes to a choice between me and what I command and them and what they want and what they desire, they're going to choose what they want. You're going to face the test of character. God is going to allow you to be put into situations where you have to make that choice.
Yeah.
You're going to have to decide between what God wants and what I want. And you know what? It won't be some trivial little thing. It'll be something that really means something to you. Let's look at Joseph again. Go into chapter 39 of Genesis. In chapter 39 of Genesis, we saw that God had brought Joseph to the place where he was thrown into a pit. Yeah, God allowed him to get into that pit. And he was sold into slavery. Ishmaelites came and took him out of that pit, took him down to Egypt, and sold him to a man named Potiphar. And we see in chapter 39 of Genesis that Joseph was brought into this man's Potiphar's house as a slave. As a slave. I remember a song that I learned, I don't know how long ago. It says, "Before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free." Anybody here want to volunteer to be a slave? Suppose your own brothers took you, your own flesh and blood took you, and sold you to be a slave. What do you think your attitude would be? You want to talk about having a bad attitude. But look, this was Joseph's first test of his character. Joseph had been treated totally unfairly. His own brothers had betrayed him. But look in verse 6 of chapter 39. Look at how Joseph reacted. Look at what his character caused him to do. It says, "Thus he left all," this is speaking of Potiphar, the master who had bought Joseph. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. What had happened? Joseph had come into this man's house as a slave, the most menial of people, and he had so behaved himself that the day came when this man said, "Joseph, you have proven yourself to me. I can trust you with everything I've got." I mean, do you understand what happened? This man was bought and sold. He came in as a slave cleaning toilets. And then a few months later, he had so behaved himself with such integrity that the man who bought him said, "Look, I'm turning over the checkbook to you. Here it is. You take care of it. You run the household. You pay the bills. You buy what you need. You do whatever you need to do. I'm not going to worry about it because I know you're so trustworthy. You have such a character that I can trust you with everything I've got." So guess what Joseph's second test of character was? One day, Mrs. Potiphar looked at him. And we just saw in the scripture that it says he was a handsome young man, strong young man, virile young man. And Potiphar, you know, Potiphar was a high official in the Egyptian government. You know, he was spending long hours on the job, and Mrs. Potiphar was feeling kind of neglected. And she looked, and there's Joseph. He's always around the house, and he's always on the job, and always got everything running smoothly. He's a man in command. And she said to herself, "You know, I enjoy being Mrs. Potiphar, but Mr. Potiphar's not here. And Joseph is here. And I think I can arrange it so that I can have them both." This was Joseph's test of character. It was Joseph's test of character. Think about what you'd do in that situation. Understand this. Somebody said, now, I don't want to get into trouble here, so I'm not going to endorse it, but somebody said, "Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned." This woman who is your master's wife has laid herself on the line. He said, "I want you to come and get in my bed." Now, when you say no, what do you think her reaction is going to be? I mean, just calculate with us from Joseph's perspective. Now, wait a minute. I don't want to get her mad at me. Secondly, I am a young man. And you know what? She is not bad looking. And thirdly, well, who will ever know? She's not going to tell. What kept Joseph from stepping across the line? He was a man of character. You see, all of the outward pressures were for him to make a decision that would be totally against what he knew was God's will for his life. All of the pressures that were on him, everything said, "Joseph, go along to get along." But he was a man of godly character. God allowed him to be brought to that point so that his character could be tested to the utmost. And he had to make a decision. Am I going to go on the basis of what my circumstances and the pressures that are on my life tell me to do? Or am I going to go on the basis of what I know would please God? Understand this. If Joseph had failed either of these tests of character, he never would have become the prime minister of Egypt. God never would have elevated him to the place that he always had in mind for him. He had to make a choice. And if he had failed in that choice, he never would have been elevated to the place that God wanted him to be. Now here's the question. When does God test our character? There are going to be some big tests. There are going to be some big tests. There's going to be the test where things have not been going well in your household, and you reach the point where you're so frustrated and so disgusted that you say, "I've had enough of this. I don't need this anymore. I feel like just walking out." That's a test of your character. But understand this. It's not just those big tests. It's those little tests that we face every day, a test of our character. Your husband or your wife gets up in the morning, and they say something to you that they really didn't need to say. And you have a choice about how you're going to react to that. You know what that is? That's a test of your character. Amen? You're driving down the highway, just breezing along, and suddenly some person cuts right in front of you. And what you say, and even what you think in that moment, guess what? That's a test of your character.
Yeah.
So you know where you're likely to fail the test of character before you even get to the point where you have to decide whether you're going to walk out on your wife or your husband or not. It's those everyday little things where you have to decide, am I going to be godly or am I not? You see, every day we're going to be faced with the test of our character. And it's as we begin to pass those tests that God is able to elevate us to the next level. When Joseph was confronted by Mrs. Potiphar, the pressure was on. He was in a tough situation. She literally had the power of life and death in her hands. As she demonstrated when he did refuse her, what did she do? She told a lie and got him thrown into prison. And so the pressure was on Joseph. Joseph was willing to stand up and be faithful to his commitment to God under pressure. Understand this. The test of character is not in the things that are easy in your life. The test of character will be in things where the pressure is on you to do something that is dishonoring to God, but it seems to be the best way for you to go to get yourself through the situation. How many of you have ever told a lie to get yourself out of a situation? Come on. Amen. If you didn't raise your hand, I'd say you're telling one right now. Amen. You know what? The last time that happens to you is not going to be the last time you find yourself in a situation where a lie will seem like the best way to get out of it. You will be faced with that test of your character. The pressure is on. You need to find a way out. And it seems like a lie will do it for you. That's a test of your character. You've got to have courage. When the pressure is on, when it seems like that you have a lot to lose unless you decide to do something that you know is not according to God's word, the pressure is on and you got to make a choice and you know that the consequences of making the wrong choice might mean that you lose your house, you lose your job, you lose your car, you lose that relationship that you have invested so much in, that one that you thought you were going to marry. You realize that if I make the decision that seems to be the godly decision, I could lose all that. You got to have courage. You got to have courage. You've got to have the courage to take a stand and say, no matter what the consequences of that stand, if it's the stand that honors God, that's the stand I'm going to take, come what may.